Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I have to wear my glasses today. So, as we were stating earlier, that today's talk is on intuition. And for most people, you know that this group follows Science of Mind, right? And we love our buddy Ernest Holmes. So one of his books, Can We Talk to God, really emphasizes the ability to tune in and listen to your own intuition. So I'm just bringing this as a reference because most of us in this group are familiar with it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very good resource on talking to God/intuition, right? Because we're all connected and it's a beautiful, beautiful written book. So, of course, I brought some notes today, and I'm going to follow my own intuition and improvise as needed, but I have my lovely notes here that I would like to share with you. So, we will go ahead and get started with that. So, here we go. So, your gift is seeing through the lies others tell themselves. Your curse is choosing when to let them know. That's a quote by a man named Uncle Harlan. I found it was very funny. So, your gift is seeing through the lies others tell themselves. Your curse is choosing when to let them know. Okay? So, intuition itself is called the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning. A thing that one knows or considers likely from instinctive feeling rather than conscious reasoning. Intuition is the highest form of intelligence, transcending all individual abilities and skills. So I went in out and did some research, and I found a really good article from Huffington Post on 10 things that highly intuitive people do differently. So I'm going to read you some snippets from it. Intuition is challenging to define, despite the huge role it plays in our everyday lives. Steve Jobs called it, for instance, more powerful than intellect. But however we put it into words, we all well know, intuitively know, what intuition is. Pretty much everyone has experienced a gut feeling, that unconscious reasoning that propels us to do something without telling us why or how. But the nature of intuition has long eluded us and has inspired centuries worth of research and inquiry in the fields of philosophy and psychology. I define intuition as the subtle knowing without ever having any idea why you know it. Sophie Burnham, the best-selling author of the book, The Art of Intuition, says it's different from thinking. It's different from logic or analysis. It's a knowing without knowing. Our intuition is always there, whether we are aware of it or not. And as Arianna Huffington puts in her book, Thrive, even when we're not at a fork in the road, wondering what to do and trying to hear that inner voice, our intuition is always there, always reading the situation, always trying to steer us to the right way. But can we hear it? Are we paying attention? Are we living a life that keeps the pathway to our intuition unblocked? Feeding and nurturing our intuition and living a life in which we can make use of its wisdom is one of the ways to thrive at work and in life. Cognitive science is beginning to demystify the strong but sometimes inexplicable presence of unconscious reasoning in our lives and our thoughts. Often dismissed as unscientific because of its connections to the psychic and paranormal, intuition isn't just a bunch of brouhaha about our spidey senses. The military is even investigating the power of intuition, which has helped troops make quick judgments during combat that ended up saving lives. There is a growing body of evidence combined with solid research that suggests intuition is a critical aspect of how we humans interact with our environment and how we ultimately make our decisions. So 10 things that get people to stay in touch with their intuition. They listen to that inner voice. It's very easy to dismiss intuition, but it's a great gift that needs to be noticed. The number one thing that distinguishes intuitive people is that they listen to, rather than ignore, the guidance of their intuitions, those gut feelings. Everybody is connected to their intuition, but some people don't pay attention to it as intuition. They say, I have yet to meet a successful most businessmen say, I don't know why I did it that way, I just got a hunch. In order to make our best decisions, we need to balance our intuition, which serves to bridge the gap between instinct and reasoning. In another book on intuition called The Intuitive Compass by Frances Trolley, she says that we don't have to reject scientific logic in order to benefit from this instinct. We can honor and call upon these tools, and we can seek balance. And by seeking this balance, we finally bring in all the resources our brain has into action. Another thing you can do is take time for solitude. If you want to get in touch with your intuition, a little time alone may be the most effective way. Just as solitude can help give rise to creative thinking, it can also help us connect to our deepest inner wisdom. Intuitive people are often introverted, and whether you're an introvert or not, taking time for solitude can help you engage in deeper thought and reconnect with yourself. You have to be able to have a little bit of solitude, a little bit of silence in the middle of the craziness. You can't recognize your intuition if you're stuck in the noise of everyday life. Another thing you can do is create. Creativity does its best work when it functions intuitively. In fact, creative people are highly intuitive. And as you can increase your creativity through practice, you can also boost your intuition. In fact, practicing one may build up the other. Another thing you can do is practice mindfulness. Meditation and other mindfulness practices can be an excellent way to tap into your intuition. As in the book, Search Inside Yourself, mindfulness can help you filter out mental chatter, weigh your options objectively, and tune into your intuition, and ultimately make a decision that you can stand behind completely. Mindfulness can also connect you to your intuition by boosting your self-knowledge. A 2013 study published in the Perspectives on Psychological Science shows that mindfulness is defined as paying attention to one's current experience in a non-judgmental way. It may help us to better understand our own personalities. Another thing you can do is observe everything. The first thing is to notice. Keep a little journal and notice when odd things happen. You'll gain a keen sense of how often coincidences, synchronicities, surprising connections, and on-the-dot intuitions occur in your everyday life. In other words, tap into your intuition. Another thing that intuitive people do is that they listen to their bodies. Intuitive people learn to tune into their bodies and heed that gut feeling. If you have ever started to feel sick in your stomach when you knew something was wrong, but couldn't put your finger on what, you understand that intuitions can cause a physical sensation in the body. Our gut feelings are called gut feelings for a reason, and research suggests that emotion and intuition are very much rooted in the second. Another thing to do is that you connect deeply with others. Mind reading may seem like the stuff of fantasy or false science, but it is actually something we do every day. It's called empathic accuracy, a term in psychology that refers to the seemingly magical ability to map someone's mental terrain from their words, emotions, and body language. When you see a spider crawling up someone's leg, you may feel a creepy sensation. Similarly, when you observe someone to reach out to a friend and they are pushed away, your brain registers a sensation of rejection. When you watch your team win or a couple embrace, you feel their emotions as if you were there. Social emotions like guilt, shame, pride, embarrassment, and lust can all be experienced by watching others. Tuning into your own emotions and spending time both observing and listening to others face to face can help boost the powers of empathy. Another thing you can do is pay attention to your dreams. Dreams and intuition all spring from the unconscious, so you can begin to tap into this part of your mind by paying attention to your dreams. At night, when you're dreaming, you're receiving information from the unconscious or intuitive part of your brain. And if you tune into your dreams, you can get a lot of information about how to live your life. Another thing to do is enjoy plenty of downtime. Few things stifle intuition as easily as constant busyness, multitasking, connectivity to digital devices, stress, and burnout. According to Huffington, we always have an intuitive sense about the people in our lives on a deep level. We know the good ones from the flatterers and the disassemblers, but we are not always awake enough to our intuition to acknowledge the difference to ourselves. The problem is we say we are too busy. We always get warnings from our heart and our intuition when they appear, but we are often too busy to notice. So another piece of advice that I found while researching intuition was more about this gut feeling. You know, what is this gut feeling? So it was a really great Harvard Business Review article done on leadership written in the 90s, and it had this whole section about intuition, you know? So when you open yourself up to finding, you know, the new resources, they appear. So I was just tickled when I found this snippet from the Harvard Business Review. It says, what is your gut? Imagine that you're walking in the woods and suddenly you come across a large rattlesnake. What happens right before you're consciously aware of the danger? Scientists say that the image of the snake quickly passes from your eyes to your brain, where information researches your visual thalamus, which then relays it to your amygdala, a major component of your limbic system. The amygdala then begins to send instructions to your body to increase your heart rate and your blood pressure. At this point, through your visual cortex, it has yet to confirm that the object you have encountered is indeed a rattlesnake. But of course, your fear is a primal emotion, and the gut instinct tells you, tells a CEO to nix a business deal or promote a vice president over another is a far subtler feeling and more complex. But here are two important points. First, your mind continuously processes information that you are not consciously aware of, not only when you're asleep and dreaming, but also when you're awake. This helps explain an aha sensation when you experience you learned something that you already knew. A professor at McGill University, a longtime proponent of intuitive decision-making, says the sense of revelation and the obvious occurs when your conscious mind finally learns something that your subconscious mind had already known. Mm-hmm. To distinguish between the two kinds of thought, this professor and others had adopted the lay terms left brain for conscious, rational, and logical, and right brain for the subconscious, intuitive, and emotional. Although the two terms are gross simplifications of how the human brain actually works, they do provide a convenient shorthand. Your mind continually receives and processes information that you are not consciously aware of. Many executives have learned to tap into their right brain by jogging, daydreaming, listening to music, or other meditative techniques. I get most of my ideas while I'm taking a very long, hot, zoned-out shower in the morning, says Bob Pittman, a president at America Online. Pittman also courts his intuitive skills by placing himself in unfamiliar situations. When he was CEO of Six Flags Entertainment, he once worked incognito as a janitor at one of the amusement parks. And on that day, he had an epiphany that helped him explain why Six Flags was having problems with its janitors being so surly to the guests. The reason, Pittman realized, was that as he swept the streets, it was because management had been ordering the janitors to keep the park clean, and customers were the ones making it dirty. So we had to go back and redefine janitors' jobs. And we finally decided, your job isn't to keep the park clean. Your main job is to make sure that people have the greatest days of their life when they come to Six Flags. And oh, by the way, what would prevent customers from enjoying themselves? A dirty park. So secondly, your brain is intricately linked to other parts of your body. So through an extensive nervous system and chemical signals, hormones, neurotransmitters, and modulators, some neuroscientists assert that what we call the mind is really this intertwined system of brain and body. This helps explain why intuitive feelings are frequently accompanied by a physical reaction. When Michael Eisner, CEO of Walt Disney Company, heard a good idea for an example, he said his body would often react in a certain way. He sometimes would get an unusual feeling in his stomach, other times in his throat, or sometimes on his skin. So the importance of being emotional really plays a part. Scientists are far from answering that question, but research has uncovered some provocative clues. Antonio Damasio, a leading neuroscientist at the University of Iowa Medicine, has been studying how people who have suffered brain damage to a specific area of their prefrontal cortexes and where we process secondary emotions such as sorrow, empathy, and fear as triggered by a sight of a snake, such patients would retain normal function in their respects. And their language and motor skills, attention and memory and intelligence, would have trouble experiencing certain emotions. So when they were shown photos of people injured in an accident, for example, they would feel nothing. During this research, he began to notice something peculiar. These patients also had difficulty making simple, even trivial decisions. And he recounts one particular bizarre incident when he asked a patient to choose between two dates for his next appointment. The patient pulled out his engagement book and began going through all these reasons about each date and taking into consideration his previous commitments and on and on and on. And almost a half an hour of listening to this, he understood that he was rational and logical, but there was no emotion to it. So to explain this phenomenon, he also, Damasio contends that decision-making is far from a cold analytical process. There's emotions involved in the decision. Our emotions and feelings play a crucial role helping us filter various possibilities, even though our conscious mind might not be aware of the screening. Our intuitive feelings thus guide our decision-making to the point at which our conscious mind is able to make good choices. So I was so thrilled to find these scientific, jargon, right, if you will, and like it's being researched. This thing called intuition is being researched now. And how it ties in the brain and our physical body. So I also did some more research on finding these some really good quotes. But before I get to my juicy quotes, I will just remind you some other tips that I found, you know, that we all hear to do. You know, we hear meditate, be quiet, be silent, you know, do what makes you happy, to tune in, whatever that is. But I'm just going to reiterate them because I find it valuable and I personally need the reminder. So here are some more steps that you can do to tune into your intuition. So meditate. Messages from your intuition tend to be quiet, so spending time in the silence will help you hear and integrate these messages. I mean, how many times have I sat down to meditate with this burning desire for an answer, right? I got to figure this out, and I haven't been able to figure it out logically. So ultimately, when I go and sit down and get myself quiet, I'm presented with a totally different outlook, a totally different a way of perceiving it, a different perspective. So, you know, people meditate in various ways, but, you know, making that a practice is ultimately to help you gain bigger perspective or get you to that aha moment. And, you know, those of us who practice meditation also know the power of intention. If you go into your meditation with an intent of having a breakthrough or having something be answered, the actual physical act of having to sit still and listen will give you that aha moment. I mean, that's been my experience time and time again. So another thing to do is, you know, start tuning in with your senses. You know, people, you know, in the psychic world, you know, they say that you hear things or you see things or you feel things, you feel emotions and so forth and so on. But if you start tuning into your senses, what that ultimately does is it starts building your sixth sense, which we all have, that, you know, that intuitive mind, right? Your third eye, right? You just start, the more you pay attention to it, the more you get attuned to it. You know, just like you say, if you exercise a physical muscle, the muscle will get stronger. Well, if you start paying attention to your senses more, then you build those strengths in those senses. So, and ultimately, then that, you know, brings you tied into your sixth sense. So, it you know, paying attention to how food tastes, how music makes you feel, how the notes you hear, you know, all of us have a predominant sense that we operate from. So I urge you to start practicing and paying attention to your other senses, because once you tie all those in together, your sixth sense is a natural occurrence of that. So then we also touched about the importance of your dreams. So many times we've woken up in, you know, those blissful moments from being in a deep sleep and waking up and you're just like, oh my gosh, I had that dream. And you remember snippets of that dream. What did that mean, right? Well, we're lucky today. We have all these great resources on the internet. You can just Google dream dictionary and look up whatever image you saw, and it has some great meaning, right? But if you really do pay attention to that, you're going to find that it has a deeper meaning. There's some emotional reasoning, like we were just saying in that scientific documentation, that your subconscious mind already knows what's going on. It's just bringing it up to the conscious mind. So that's why dreams really can give you some really great insights if you pay attention. And another thing, you know, is to really make yourself a priority. You know, you have to take yourself and love yourself and honor yourself first. You know, make yourself as a priority, because, you know, we already stated how easy it is to get so busy and so stressed and worried about, you know, what's happening now. But how many times on the flip side have you heard all the spiritual teachers, all the masters, every book you've ever read, you know, essentially says be here now. Right? Well, why be here now? Because when you stop and center yourself, your mind becomes quiet and your heart automatically opens. And when your heart automatically opens, then you're more sensitive to the energies around you, and you can discern, does that feel good or not feel good? And if you start making that practice of saying, oh, that feels good to me, I'm going to tune into that, you're naturally wanting more of that. And if you naturally want more of that, then you're saying, okay, I want to feel better. I want more of this. That felt great. I want more of this. And what happens when that happens is your physical body starts releasing endorphins and releasing chemicals that say, oh my gosh, I want more of that. I want more of that. I want more of that. How many performances have you come off of stage and felt like, oh my God, we were in the zone. It felt so good. You hear athletes say, oh, I was on my game. Well, they got their body out of the way and they let the energy, the source, your intuition take over, right? You tune in and you allow yourself to do that. So for folks that haven't entertained the benefits of meditation and why people say meditate is because it gets you to stop and tune in now, to be fully present now with your body, with your mind, your soul, and your senses. So, along with that, I will just read some of these great quotes. We're doing okay on time, I think. Yeah. Okay, so it was amazing. When I looked for quotes, I came across 20,000, and I was flying high by the time I ended reading some of these quotes. So anyway, here we go. Our bodies have five senses: smell, taste, sight, and hearing. Our bodies have five senses: touch, smell, sight, taste, and hearing. But not to be overlooked are the senses of our souls: intuition, peace, foresight, trust, empathy. The differences between people lie in their use of these senses. Most people don't know anything about their inner senses, while a few people rely on them just as they rely on their physical senses. In fact, probably more. It's important to pay attention to your senses. Next one. Intuition is always right Intuition is always right in at least two important ways. It is always in response to something, or it always has your best interest at heart. So we're going to say that again. Intuition is right in at least two important ways. It is always in response to something, or it always has your best interest at heart. And I'm going to pause there a minute, because how many times have we been going through our daily routine and your inner urge is saying you should go stretch, for example, or you should go this direction, or you should go do that chore, or you should eat this food, right? And how many times have we said, okay, I hear you, but I'm going to do this way out of spite, right? I'm going to eat the chocolate cake instead of, you know, eating the fruit or whatever it is, you know. And then later on, after that decision has already been done, you have a sense of regret. Like, darn it, I should have listened to the inner voice. I should have followed my intuition. I should have gone that road instead of that road, and you end up in traffic, right? So, you know, and then, so what do you do when you come to those moments of, darn it, I didn't listen to my intuition? Well, you honor it. You don't sit there and say, oh, I'm going to keep beating myself up for not listening to my intuition. The beauty of the contrast in that situation is that you can learn to forgive yourself and say, I'm going to do better next time. When that voice is so strong, I'm going to say, I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to do it this way, because last time it didn't work out so well, right? So that's why I love this piece of this quote, because it always has your best interest at heart. So if you can approach your intuition as that loving guidance for yourself and others, then you can say, oh, it feels so good when I do tune in and listen to my intuition, because it's guiding me to the right thing. Even though we don't feel like exercising, how do we feel after we do it, right? You have these endorphins, or we take a walk in nature, you know, like just following that guidance is serving you at a soul level. So sometimes, here's the next quote, sometimes you can't figure out the truth because you're asking people that are emotionally or socially invested in you to be brutally honest. Often family or friends will tell you what you want to hear or what they want you to believe because of their emotional investment in the situation. Instead of circling the drain with biased speculation, go out and get 20 unbiased people that have nothing to lose and let them speak their mind and ask them what they think. After you do that, stop asking for people's perspectives. Accept their answer, because you are never going to know the real truth when the person you love lies to you. Sometimes you only have the truth of common sense when the unbiased majority has offered you their opinion. When we care about people, we believe the most far-fetched fantasies to help us deal with our actions, their actions, and the conversations we missed out on. Our intuition then becomes compromised. You should never put your life on hold in order to decide what truth is. The memory of truth no longer remains in the mind of a liar. Some things worth having defy logic. They come with obstacles, challenges, battles, and long periods of wandering in the dark. Your path won't make sense to your family or friends. People will weigh in with their rules for your life and their fears for your life. But in the end, it is your life that pull you feel is real and is often your intuition. It nags at you every day. Follow it for as far as it takes you, because life is too short to dwell on indecision while you forget to live. Take a chance, because if you have a good heart, God isn't going to abandon you. Take a chance, because if you have a good heart, God is not going to abandon you. He will travel wherever you need to go in order to find the missing pieces of your soul. Okay. That's from a woman named Shannon Adler. Next quote is from Brian Weiss. Come from the heart, the true heart, not the head. When in doubt, choose the heart. This does not mean to deny your own experiences and that you wish to have empirically learned through the years. It means to trust yourself to integrate intuition and experience. There is a balance and a harmony to be nurtured between the head and the heart. When the intuition rings clear and true, loving impulses are favored. Next one. I invited intuition to stay in my house when my roommates went north. I warned her that I am a territorial person and I keep the herb jars in alphabetical order. Intuition confessed that she has a spotty employment record and she was fired from her last day for daydreaming. When intuition moved in, she washed all the windows, cleaned out the fireplace, planted fruit trees, and lit purple candles. She doesn't cook much. She eats beautiful foods, artichokes, avocados, persimmons, and pomegranates, wild rice with mushrooms, and chrysanthemum tea. She doesn't have any possessions. Each thing is special. I wish you could see the way she arranged her treasures on the fireplace mantel. She has a splendid collection of teacups, bowls, and baskets. Well, the herbs are still in alphabetical order, and I can't complain about how the house looks. Since intuition moved in, my life has been turned inside out.
Is that Ruth Gindler?
Yes, from the Book of Qualities. Good job. Yes, Ruth Gindler, yes.
Nobody writes like Ruth.
Yes, exactly. Good call, Connie. So the next one, being spontaneous is being able to respond with confidence, calmly trusting that whatever the outcome, you will have a positive, if challenging, experience that will lead to a greater self-awareness and success. That's from a book called Trusting Your Intuition by Sylvia Clare. Next one, situations produce vibrations. Negative, potentially harmful situations will emit vibrations. Positive, potentially life-enhancing situations will emit quick vibrations. And as these vibrations impact your energy field, they produce either resonance or dis-resonance in lower and middle psychic power stations, depending on your own vibratory rate at the time. When your psychic field force is strong and your vibratory rate is fast, you will draw only positive situations to you. When your mind is quiet enough and your attention is on the moment, you will literally hear the dissonance in your belly and the chest like an alarm bell going off, urging you from deep within your body to move in this or that direction. Always follow it. At these times, these urges may come to you in the form of internally spoken dialogue, with your higher self, spirit guide, guardian angel, alien intelligence, or whoever you see as this still small voice within. This form of dialogue can be entertaining and reassuring, but it is best not to overindulge it in the extreme, as it tends to lead one to the loony bin. At times, you may receive your messages from an Indian sign, such slogans on passing trucks or cloud formations in the sky. But this is also best kept in moderation, to avoid seeing signs in everything and becoming terribly confused. Just let it happen when it happens. Don't try looking for it. That was from Barefoot Doctor's Guide to the Tao, a spiritual handbook for urban warrior, Stephen Russell. And the last two that I would like to share, let me make sure that was it. Yes, we have just a few more. I didn't know about this person named Swami Dwan Geetan, who wrote a book called Presence Working From Within, The Psychology of Being. It really resonated with me. I was very moved by these two quotes that I found, and I'm eager to read this book. Life is very simple. In each moment, we have the opportunity to choose between saying yes or no, to listen to our intuition, to listen to our true inner voice, that voice within ourselves. When we say yes, we have contact with existence, and we receive nourishment, love, joy, support, and inspiration. When we say no, we create a separation from life and begin to create dreams and expectations of how it should be. We begin to live in the memories of the past and in the fantasies of the future, as if any other time than here and now really could make us happy and satisfied. Intuition is the art of the moment. Intuition is always in the moment, here and now. While the intellect always moves like a pendulum of a clock between the memories of the past and the fantasies of the future, intuition is always in the moment, always in the here and now. The more we develop our inner being, the inner source of love and truth, the inner quality of being here and now, the more we also have access to our intuition. And finally, I have to share how I love synchronicities. I have friends all my life who have literally said to me, Carrie lives for synchronicities in life. She gets so excited about synchronicities in life. Connie has witnessed it more than I can count. Music is something that just tunes me in and shifts me out and just puts me on that path of open-heartedness and willingness and intention to feel more. So I had taken a day for myself yesterday, and I knew I was preparing for this talk, so I purposely had a down day. I decided the only thing that I absolutely had to do was one load of laundry. Other than that, and get this talk together. But other than that, that was it. That was the only two things I had to do yesterday. So, as many of you, I have a Netflix subscription. So I was feeling, okay, let me just see if there's anything fun to watch on Netflix. And, you know, I always try to choose uplifting stuff or funny stuff. You know, I'm not, you know, I just want to feel good after I watch something. And lo and behold, I remembered that there were a lot of good documentaries out there, right? And I'd heard buzz around Oscar time that there was a documentary on Amy Winehouse, this musician from England who had since passed, but you know, they had won an Oscar or some award, right? And so I saw it come up in my Netflix queue, and I said, okay, let me watch this. You know, I enjoy music. Let's see what she was about. Why not? Who cares? You know, I don't have anything going on. Why not? So I decided to watch it. And the funny thing is, I see why this movie got an award because it was done from her best friend's perspective. From when they were age 9 and video cameras first came out, her best friend started filming just for fun, like girlfriends do, right? Like what everybody does with their phones now. But back then it was a big deal because you had to carry this camera around, right? And so anyway, there were snippets of genuine friendship and love. And the documentary was really about being there for your friend when their lives change, right? And the dynamics that friendships go through when different paths are followed, right? So it was a beautiful, beautiful depiction to me, as how I interpret it, of friendship. And when Amy started on her path to be a musician, her drive, her calling, her genre was naturally jazz. And she has this snippet on the movie about how she was so frustrated with music because there wasn't any great music on the radio anymore. Everything was being electronic and synthesized, and where's the technique? You don't hear technique anymore. And she just went on and on about her passion for jazz music, right? And I was like, well, I'm not a big jazz fan, but I could appreciate it. Well, the way she was just going on and on about it, I was like, oh, I gotta listen to some jazz. But she was, you know, saying about Ella and all these great jazz musicians and so forth. So, I mean, she was just going on a total rampage of appreciation for jazz. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she was a jazz group. I knew her as being a pop person, right? But so many musicians, you know, go through a phase where in order to get their music to be heard, they might entertain music that's not their passion, right? So she kept saying about how she loved jazz, right? So she kind of fell off the jazz track and went around and did a little pop and ultimately wanted to do jazz. So anyway, her passion to want to do jazz led her into the studio to sing a duet with Tony Bennett. And Tony Bennett, you know, is a jazz singer, and he loves jazz music. And when Amy came in the room to get behind the microphone to stand next to one of her jazz idols, she was shaking like a leaf. She could not calm her nerves. And Tony kept trying to reassure her and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. She said, I know it's going to be okay, but I'm so excited about the possibility of being able to perfect my voice in jazz right here in this moment that I'm shaking because I'm so excited to be here, right now. And oh, by the way, here's one of my idols that I'm singing a duet with. Her purpose of being there in that moment was to perfect her voice, to share her passion in that moment. And she, of course, they had a few takes and they got it, and it was a beautiful, beautiful take, and it was done. And she was just beyond the moon after she was done singing that song. And the story in the documentary goes on, and it shows that Amy passes over and so forth. And Tony Bennett was interviewed afterwards, after she passed, and said this. Said, Amy is one of the best jazz singers that have ever lived. Her voice would have inspired the passion for jazz and music over time. She was one of the greats. And then he paused and he looked at the camera and he said, your gift is seeing through, excuse me. Oh gosh, hold on. I misplaced it. I'm so sorry. Hold on. Oh my goodness. Okay. Sorry. So he paused and he said, as he looked into the camera with Amy on his mind, he looked into the camera and says, life teaches you how to live it if you live long enough. Life teaches you how to live it if you live long enough. Again, life teaches you how to live it if you live long enough. I found that totally perfect for following your intuition. Life teaches you how to live it if you live long enough. Thank you.